Today, heavily armed militias left the Libyan capital, Tripoli, nearly a week after a mass protest against their presence. The militias, which helped topple Libya's former leader Muammar Gaddafi, are accused of contributing to lawlessness in the country after the revolution in 2011. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen reports from Tripoli.
Just outside Tripoli, an elderly Soviet-era MiG fighter did a stately flypast over the latest recruits to the Libyan security forces. These men, marching across the barrack square, were trained by Italians. Others are going to Britain to learn how to be soldiers. In this passing out parade, there are some very energetic displays of martial arts, of extreme gymnastics, one man jumping over human barriers, showing off their bravery and their skill, and they're well drilled. The question is whether all this brave attempt at organization is going to survive its first contact with the confusion outside the walls of this barracks. A father who wants to remain anonymous because he's scared of reprisals talked about how his son was kidnapped by a militia. Effective central government, law, order and justice are aspirations in the new Libya. His son is still missing.
The problems we have got now weren't there in Gaddafi's time. The militias, the spread of weapons. We live under the gun now. You leave the house scared and you come home scared. You are not safe on the streets. There aren't any courts. Instead, there is the role of the militias. They implement their own laws. They are the judge and the jury.
This is an outpost of the Tripoli Operations Room, an armed group who proclaim their loyalty to the Prime Minister. They look well trained, but they're no match for the mess of militias, tribes and city-states who've been the real power in the land since the fall of Gaddafi. Repeated proposals to absorb militias into the new armed forces haven't worked.
It's 8 o'clock in the evening, and in this headquarters, they're getting ready to go on patrol. Men are picking up their weapons, bulletproof jackets, helmets, and preparing to go out into what is a wet night here in Tripoli. They've parked their pickup trucks with the heavy weapons on the back, and they've set up a checkpoint. One Libyan here has just said to me, if every checkpoint in the country was like this, we wouldn't have any problems. The difficulty, he said, is that they're not like this. Security is a real issue in Libya.
Salah al-Magani is visibly weighed down by the strain of trying to change this country. In 2011, he was an optimistic human rights lawyer. Now he's justice minister. He says he's still hopeful, but he's deeply worried by the way some militias are using the old regime's methods.
I think we failed the Libyan people on realizing how difficult it would be to deal with the fallout from the revolution, revenge taking place, allowing for security to deteriorate. We need to do more. If we just do the opposite thing of Gaddafi, we will be there. We should not repeat the mistakes of that regime under a different flag.
Another part of the complex, violent legacy of Colonel Gaddafi is the dangerous glut of weapons all looted from his armories. A survey paid for by Britain found that there are 80 to 100 times as many loose weapons in Libya than in Iraq after the fall of Saddam Hussein. In the last 10 days, Tripoli has suffered its worst violence since the fall of Gaddafi. The fledgling parliament is struggling to agree on the political way ahead via a new constitution and elections. One positive, this country has more than enough militias and guns for an all-out civil war, but it hasn't happened. If that doesn't change, by Libyan standards, it's enough to keep some hope alive.
That was the BBC's Jeremy Bowen reporting from Tripoli, Libya.